What's up, world? It's Spotty Wi-Fi, the king of the crypto punks, and you are now tuned in to Fired Up on the Blockchain with my guy, Travi. I get a little
fired. Aloha, everyone.
Yo, what's up? It's G-Love.
This is It's Becky, bitch.
Yo, it's your boy, Nessie the Rilla, from the east to the west. You already know who does it best.
What up, y'all? This is Sammy Ariaga.
I'm Juliet from Miss O Cool Girl.
I'm Ray Usla.
Hi, I'm Leah from Power of Women.
This is Danielle Petty.
This is your boy, Yassad, with the band Pepper.
Hey, y'all. This is Ashley, also known as Bored Becky.
What's up? It's your Web3 bestie, Liz Morrison.
You're listening to Fired Up.
Fired Up. And I'm fired up.
I'm fired up on the blockchain.
You're listening to my guy, my Web3 bestie.
And I'm fired up with Travi.
My boy, Travi.
This is OSF, and I'm getting wrecked with Travi. With Travi.
With Travi.
And I'm Toy Encendida en la cadena de bloques con Travi.
With Travi.
Fired up on the blockchain with Travi.
Hey, Travi, let's effing go.
Let's go.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, friends and degens, for the thousands in attendance and the millions listening in podcast land. My name is Travi, and we are fired up on the blockchain.
Travi, come on now. Like, you got this under control. I get a little farther.
And as we look towards season two, I really wanted to take a beat here and talk with my buddy Meta David, who is the host of the Blockchain Experience podcast. David, I feel like I should call you like a co-host at this point for as often as you've been on, man. How are you? And thanks for hopping on with me today.
Yeah, thanks for the invite. I love hopping on your podcast here, so it's always a good time.
There's a lot of reasons, David, why people, you know, loved NFTs, I feel like, in the first place. And I think what's exciting about it right now is the companies that are still sort of, I don't know, like chugging along are trying to do some things, I feel like, more internally, where back like a year or two ago, they would say like, we're building behind the scenes. And a lot of us would be like, what does that mean, man? Like, what, building behind the scenes? You got 10,000 holders, or you've got like, you know, 10,000 pieces that you've got thousands of holders. What does that mean? You got to tell us what you're doing. Now, I think, I don't know if there's a lot of people with a lot of expectations, but I mean, me personally, for me, like I'm not building anything behind the scenes. I'm out doing stuff. like a lot of the proceeds that we got, more than I thought I was going to actually donate in terms of like the Journey NFT that we were doing a grant fund, just decided to take some extra that weren't going to be part of that donation and just give it to a foundation, like another foundation that we partnered with in the New Jersey, New York metro area, where they've got 12 different charitable partners, including like the Boys and Girls Club is one of them. There's a museum that's got, you know, partnership with the Smithsonian. Like, there's so many different things that are empowering artists, empowering young people to go out and do positive things in this world. And that's not even part of the initial thing, which is the grant fund. That's still something that I'm working with Hartman Roads Charities on, who's a foundation. They do a lot of different scholarship things. They work a lot with the Rotarians and a lot of the local places, again, in the New Jersey, New York area. And for me, it's like, I feel like I'm more present doing that stuff. And anyone who knows me in real life knows I'm doing that. I don't know, man. I feel like for me, it's been kind of like crazy because I'm doing a lot less online and with my digital presence, and a lot more like in real life doing real things. But man, you talk about like something that's a lot of work and a lot of hours. That's what I've been up to. What are your thoughts on just kind of how everything's going right now in this kind of strange in-between market time?
Yeah, well, I will say, I think what, you know, going back to your initial thesis when you started your project, I think what really resonated with me and a lot of other people that participated in it is the fact that it's being built on the blockchain. So there was, or there is, that added layer of like transparency. So I think with that, there's a huge amount of trust, you know, and you don't necessarily, there's not necessarily like an expectation to get into the details and the people participating in that are very aware of some of the nuances regarding like privacy laws and things involving children. So I think the way that you've built it was very thoughtful and deliberate. And so I think that added like a layer of trust, because I can tell you, as someone who wants to be charitable, and we talked about this, I think, on a prior podcast, we know that like oftentimes it's like a single digit percentage of that money actually makes it to the charity. Now, of course, I understand that there's going to be overhead costs, and I'm kind of aware of that. But I think when it's you're talking about like, you know, 7 cents on a dollar going to a charity at the end of the day, that raises like a lot of red flags in terms of like, are the right people getting the money here? So, you know, I think I certainly can appreciate that. But going back to the question that you posed, I think it's like an interesting time because there are bad actors that have been weeded out. So I think that the people still here are the ones that are building thoughtfully. And I think there's also been a lot of learnings, like you said, in terms of how things are communicated as well, whether that is the medium that's being used for communication, whether that's through email, whether that's through, you know, an X direct message, maybe it's an X posts. I feel weird saying that. X just doesn't roll off the tongue the way that Twitter did. So there's a whole bunch of, I think, experimentation going on with that and trying to understand how this space wants to receive the messaging and how frequently they want to receive the messaging. And yeah, I think that a lot of the people still left in the space are truly like builders. And what I've observed, and I was actually kind of talking about this with one of your prior guests, Gregarious from Zealous, is that AI is a thing that has picked up a lot of steam, obviously. But even that, we're starting to see a little bit of a tapering off, because if you kind of think about it, it's just like a lot of the solutions being built or have been built have already been built. It's just being repackaged the same way. So like, how many different ways do you need like a audio recording transcribed, you know, like, and there's like 40,000 different companies doing it, like, you know, doing that and then repackaging it, you know, with a different brand name. So even that's starting to die off. And what, you know, it's part of that cycle of technology adoption. And so what's happened is concurrently while that's going on, I think with blockchain technology, there's been some like interesting things being built in the background that are really going to come to fruition. And those things are really going to be the ones that stick, similar to, and I always reference the 90s, is that like, if you remember, we had like so many different dial-up providers, which maybe a lot of listeners don't even know what dial-up providers are. Unfortunately, I am old enough to be able to expound on that if you're interested. And then like back then we had all these different search engines too. Like Yahoo started off really as like a search engine, and there was like InfoSeek and AltaVista and Ask Jeeves, and I could go on and on, Lycos, Excite. And that just hit touching the surface there. And at the end of the day, that was just like a search engine that just like was trying to retrieve information on the internet. And so obviously we didn't need like a million of them. We've kind of settled on like kind of like one at this point, and there's some other smaller ones that you can rely on for information retrieval. So yeah, I think like we're at a point where there's just the things that are being built now are things that are really like solving problems out there, whether it has to do with like media, medical, there's a lot of interesting use cases there where decentralization and owning like your health information are interesting. And a lot of those things I think are going to go mainstream and, you know, pick up traction. So it's all interesting stuff, man. I mean, it's like a little bit of a lull if you're a participant, but as far as the things that are being built out there, it's really mind blowing. And we're going to see a lot of those things go mainstream soon.
I get tons of emails every day, and there are people who want to come on the podcast. And for the folks who listened through season one, I think a lot of them probably knew of like a fair amount of the guests because they were either involved in Web3 or if they're really into music, maybe they knew some of the musicians. If they weren't into music, maybe they realized, okay, like there's a whole rabbit hole of, you know, NFTs, music on the blockchain that I can go down. But I feel like a lot of people were vaguely at least familiar with a lot of the guests. To pull the curtain back, you know, I was thinking about really when to start, like officially start season two. And there's like a bunch of people I have on my radar who I've been talking with, but it used to just be as quickly as like somebody would shoot me a DM or I would shoot them a DM and be like, hey, I know you've got this thing going on. I love what you're doing. I would love for people to hear about it. And it was usually that simple. And then you kind of like develop a rapport and a friendship. There's a lot of people who I'm not sure if what they're doing is even legit, as much research as I can do on it, because I've never heard of them before. And it doesn't mean that they're, you know, not going to be a great company. I just feel like as a podcaster, for me, it's my job from the beginning was originally like to share my own personal journey, things I was working on when I was advising and speaking and doing stuff like that. But I really want to get into sharing the journey of the folks who are involved, which is, you know, sort of where the season one was heading anyway. And it's hard to do when there's a company you never heard of or a product you don't know if anyone's going to want to buy. And I don't know, I've always kind of tried to stay away from like the shilling. It was more just like, let's talk about what you're doing because I'm excited about it. Maybe someone else will be. As a podcaster, are you experiencing any of that? Just kind of like, you know, you've had a lot of great guests, especially looking at season two of the Blockchain Experience, when you're talking about, well, I don't want to tell too much. I don't want to kind of jump the shark because there's a lot of people who I'm sure you could speak about. But yeah, man, let's talk a little bit about that. What's it like as a podcaster? Are you getting a lot of kind of like out of the blue emails? And also, who are some people in season one and season two who you've been pretty excited to have on so far?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we're seeing a lot of that also, a lot of these like cold emails coming through. We always welcome it because, as you do too, because they're just interesting people building interesting stuff. So at the very least, kind of just getting some exposure to seeing what they do. As a podcaster, you have an audience and you want to not only like serve content that serves that audience, but you also want to have content that's curated for the audience too. So you want to make sure that, you know, if you're putting your name next to something, that something is vetted and it's legit. So there's a lot of, I think, apprehension by a lot of us that are subject matter experts to bring on something that's untested. That's not to say that you shouldn't be experimenting as a builder and, testing things out and presenting like to podcasters to see what kind of traction that you get. But yeah, I think that there is like a lot of hesitancy because of some of the things that have gone on. So we've tried to curate and make sure that like the people that were brought on are ones that we feel confident in putting our names next to. In addition to that, we also try to have diversity of guests in terms of like, so we started off this season with like Gabe Weiss, who is like an artist, and we've had Brian Brinkman and Ed Balloon, and they're like more like artists. There's also a segment of our audience that are just like builders, for example. So we've had Collabland, and we also have an unaired episode as of this recording with Coinbase, someone from the Base team talking about how you can build on Base. And so, yeah, just having that diversity in guests also. So you want to serve everyone something, but you can't be all things to everyone at the same time too. So as a podcaster, it's been like a difficult balancing act in trying to make sure you get that perfect combination. So I don't know what your experiences have been on that, but that's kind of been my take on that, is just finding that perfect. And I'm not saying that I found that perfect balance, still a work in progress, but trying to find that perfect balance the best way that you can when you have incoming things coming, you know, incoming requests. You have people that are building like really cool things out there. And then you also have just emerging technologies that maybe you're not really familiar with, but you want to bring them on to just kind of talk and riff a little bit about what they're building.
Yeah, you might be more of a professional at this than I am. I pretty much just wanted to share things that I thought was interesting. I mean, at least at the beginning of season one, like when I was just getting started, because that's kind of how like the Twitter space thing happened for me at first. It was just like, hey, so a founder of this company wanted me to do Twitter spaces. And then I found like it wasn't really all that exciting just talking about that founder's product, like I don't even know what you call it, project or whatever. And I found it more interesting to do like collaborations, like how could we provide value? And then you would obviously have people from different communities come and plug into your Twitter space, and you're like, wow, like this is really growing, this is cool. And then everyone started telling me that I should have a podcast, and I was just like, I don't really have anything to talk about, I guess I'll just share the things that I'm interested in. I'm thinking back to season one, and I remember just getting started. The company that I just mentioned that I was doing some Twitter spaces for, they asked me to do some promotional stuff. So they put together a live event, and I went out there, helped to run a live event with members of that team. And I was just like, wow, like the future of this combining real world experiences with stuff on the blockchain is really exciting. And that's what kind of what got me in the whole like fire it up. Like I'm fired, literally fired up on the idea of the blockchain. So it made me think like, why don't we start to share some of those things? To me, like, and I get that it's a casino for most people. I'll put that caveat on. I'm not, again, you and I talked about it last time. I'm not flip shaming. That's not the thing. Go out and do whatever you want. But what was exciting for me at first was I could buy this little thing and then have it in this wallet that like is literally just somewhere on the internet called, you know, the blockchain. And by like just showing that I have something, I could get into all these events that I normally couldn't get into. And for me, and I don't know if it's just like, and I'm not bougie, but like growing up in the New York area, having access to things that other people couldn't get access to, or that I should say I wouldn't have otherwise had access to. To me, it was exciting. Like, even if it meant I had to pay a little bit more, I would rather not have to, you know, when you're 21, 22, like not have to wait online at the club when you could get in front of hundreds of people. And obviously, as when you get older, like there's different VIP means different things, different people. And I just felt like there was an experience level that was only matched for those particular events by holding those NFTs. And to me, it was very exciting to be able to do those things because NFTs were hot, right? So you think you're the cool kid in town because you have the thing that other people don't even know about, you know, and B, like you're going and you're with the people who at the time were in high demand, whether it was the musician because they're, you know, ETH was pumping at 4,500 USD or, you know, the projects were selling out the 10,000 piece collections super, super quickly and just have access to these people and these events. It almost felt probably how people are feeling when they're at Ape Fest. Like it probably had whatever that vibe is that they're feeling. That's probably how it was for a lot of us. And so I started getting super excited about not only those ideas, but really communicating the folks that were doing big things with people who could just like put on Spotify or iTunes and just hear like, hey, what are these people working on? Looking back at your season one and into season two, was there anyone, I know you mentioned Ed Balloon and you try to keep it pretty diverse, but you started off as more of like an artist-based kind of appreciation sort of podcast. Was there anyone you were really excited about, really nervous about bringing on when you were just kind of newer to the podcast game?
Yeah, 100%. That's such a great question. So to your point, like when the podcast first started out, it was very much focused on emerging artists, and it was actually called the Dead NFT Artist Society back then. It was like a pun on Dead Fellas and also the movie Dead Poet Society. And so that was kind of the central theme. And I would say, I know it sounds a little cliche, maybe like the first podcast that I did, I was nervous about because I am not a professional like podcaster by trade or any sort of broadcasting experience whatsoever. As an undergrad, I graduated with a degree in economics and I have my MBA. I've worked in product, business development, sales. But like, yeah, you see a glaring gap there and like not podcasting. And similar to you, it's just like the decision to be a podcaster, which I think if someone like had to like take a bet on that 3 years ago, the odds of the payout on that would be very high because it probably would be something that would never happen. But it just started off really as just a passion project. And my passion was definitely art. And so I think like the first episode for sure was the one that I was the most nervous about because I'm like, I don't know how this is going to go. I've never done like recorded content and published it out there. And I think like even when I listened to the first few episodes, they're rough, not just in terms of even like the basic stuff, not just from like a podcaster standpoint, like asking the right questions and that sort of thing, but just even from like production standpoint too. And you've helped me out a lot with kind of getting that narrowed down. So I appreciate that very much. So I think we can pride ourselves at this point as having very high production quality, thanks to Travi there for sure. But I would also say another guest that I was nervous about would be Sabet, because he was the first like large guest in terms of being known in the space. He was one that I was nervous about because I hadn't had a guest of his stature before. Dude has like almost 100,000 followers. Almost everyone knows him. And even though we had been friendly and follow each other, I don't know. It's like when you have someone of that stature, you kind of just got nervous. So I would say that was certainly another episode. And then I think from there, that kind of was a good conditioning point where I mean, not to sound arrogant or cocky, but there wouldn't be like a guest that I would have that I'd be nervous about, at least at this point, unless if maybe, you know, I have like some, I mean, I don't know if I have like a world lead or something, then maybe that might hide the threshold a little bit. But yeah, how's your experiences been with that? I know that I think you have a lot more experience in terms of your background teaching and in terms of being able to connect with people and audiences, like you talked about with your last episode, the fans. I think that's a huge advantage and, you know, characteristic that you bring to the podcast. But were there any like guests that made you kind of a little bit nervous? What was your journey like? No pun intended on that.
Yeah. Something that's interesting. Like, I feel like when, you know, when you're teaching and when you're in business, you have to put up with a lot of things, right? Because you want the best for whether it's your kids or the company or the partnerships you're working on. And when you're doing something on your own, you kind of have a little bit less patience, I feel like, especially for things that you just don't want to be dealing with. And I think one of the things that made the podcast itself, you know, even somewhat successful was everybody who came on were people who were genuinely interesting to me. And I think that there was a lot that I wanted to share with other people. So like looking back for sure, I mean, the very, not the first, like not like a pilot episode, but like, I think the one after that was with Duckmaster, and Duckmaster has Non-Code Ducks. He's got the NFT venues. And for me, like, he runs one of, or has always run one of the most interactive Discords for his holders, whether he's doing games, awards, things like that, spaces. He's just always, he was always very involved. And the fact that he was happy to come on and do a space, it was an old Twitter space, I think even before I discovered what Zealous was. And I put it up as episode, I believe it was episode 2, and it was just so grimy and raw and like a recording of a recording. But I think I was most thankful for that, obviously, along with like the first Fanzo episode that I put out for episode 4, because that was actually an episode from his podcast that we recorded and he let me use for my, like, one of my early podcasts. But I think I was maybe most nervous, like nervous for G-Love, because G-Love is a musician who I've known for many years. He put, if anyone's a fan of Jack Johnson, and kind of like that, like acoustic-y kind of like, I mean, everyone should know what Jack Johnson is, but kind of like that acoustic, almost singer-songwriter sound. And G-Love's got like a lot of blues and funk to what he does. I've just been listening to him since the 90s. And for him to come on, it, you know, finding out that these folks have a love of the blockchain or have a product that they want to put out and are happy to just come on a podcast and talk about it. We got to talk about his career, how he helped kind of launch Jack Johnson's career. Kind of a similar conversation I had with Yasad Williams, who is the drummer of Pepper. And for me, as a big music fan, and Pepper is a reggae rock band I followed since, I don't know, 20 years ago. I mean, these guys have just been like on my playlists for what feels like forever. So probably nerves wise, it was mainly them, because I've actually paid a lot of money to see them in person and I just didn't want to mess up. I think in terms of like being excited for real, like excited, like, wow, I'm really excited to share this with people who have never heard of it before. Was probably Spotty Wi-Fi's story. his, especially like the first interview with Spotty Wi-Fi, where, man, he was, he had maybe one recording that he released with a famous hip hop artist. And then since then has many more, including a song with Snoop Dogg on an interlude with Jim Jones from Dipset. You could tell I'm more into music overall, like in my life than most things. I think I was also really excited to get Bored Becky on back when she was running Fame Lady Squad. They were doing a whole lot. I know that company is kind of doing some other things now. I'm always surprised when someone's willing to come on. I should say that too, because I don't have an ego about any of this stuff. And the fact that someone says yes to coming onto a podcast, I'm just like, wow, like you really want to spend your time with me, I feel like. But I think the most emotional of all was probably the one I had with Becky, Becky Wolo.
Like 2 episodes ago?
Yeah. I think it was.
Or maybe it was a little more than that. It was one of the more recent ones. Yeah,
I think it was episode 67, if I remember correctly. And she and I had very similar journeys. We started around the same time on the collector side. I might have started a little bit before her. Then we both ended up on council together, saw some really rocky things, like great things and also like really rocky things. And then when she ran the brand and pulled me into being an official advisor, we had all these great, all this stuff going on, all these great ideas. And then it's just kind of like her passion for everything that she put into it, this coincided with everything I was doing, man. And it was just like, it was like a walk down memory lane. You know, it was kind of like we're signing each other's yearbooks.
I really like that episode because it's interesting because for me personally, I wasn't part of that experience. But I think for everyone that was listening to that episode, it was one of the most relatable things that they've heard, because although the names were different, it's just like we've all been through those exact same things, just changed the names, but a very similar narrative. And so for me personally, that episode actually really stood out too, because I was just like, really, I remember I was listening to that episode and I started off listening to it, doing something else at the same time. I think I was putting together my daughter's bed or something like that. She just got a new bed because, you know, she's got a bigger. And then I got so into it, and I'm not the best multitasker, that I had to stop putting together the bed and just like laser focus, listen to this episode, because I was like, holy crap, I can relate to a lot of these things. And a lot of these stories are really interesting, and the names might be different, but we all kind of experienced that. So to me, it was one of the more memorable episodes. What really stands out, and you kind of touched on this earlier, is the fact that you've had like a lot of guests that are like music focused on your podcast. And when I heard the one with Yasod Williams, that was amazing. I mean, amongst many other episodes that you had, that was amazing because I grew up with him also. So just to hear his name in the wild there and hear him talk and, you know, give his stories was really surreal. So have you ever been kind of like starstruck with any of the guests that you've had? Because you've had a lot of big names on your podcast.
Yeah, I feel like that's kind of what I'm thinking about too. Like, mainly the musicians for sure, because to like you and I on your podcast, like, and I'll ask people like, who are your top 5 hip hop artists and stuff like that. But I really listen to, when I say everything, like most kinds of music. Like, I don't really listen to a lot of modern hip hop that like the kids listen to. I know I sound old when I say that, but a lot of it sounds, I don't want to say this. A lot of it sounds the same to me. But there's still a lot of good stuff out there. But I don't have a problem listening to country. I don't have a problem listening to jazz. I don't have a problem. Like, we listen most. If you look at my Spotify Wrapped this year, Sinatra's probably going to be the number one, because we play that a lot in my house. But yeah, I think for me, it's mainly been, I geek out over music. I don't really know if I completely understand why. I just feel like there's been a lot of times in my life where music has been a thing that was helpful to me when I was going through bad things, when I was going through good things, when I'm having, you know, our babies, when we're at a party. Like, imagine any of those moments without music. And for me, you know, going through things, losing family members, losing friends, trying to find ways to like keep it all together. A lot of it for me was music. Like, not just like the sound of the song, the things that they were saying. I know not everyone's like a lyrics nerd like I am, but those were the things. And that's kind of like when my initial, like, overall love for Bob Marley and reggae music came from. Like, so my daughter's middle name is Marley. I've got a Bob Marley tattoo. And the One Love to Web 3 thing, that's why, because no matter what happens in life, like, you can bind it all together by finding a common ground, something that really lets everyone know that we are all one. Like, we came from whatever you believe your creator to be, whether you believe the religion or the science or something else. We all came from the same place, however many years ago you believe it was. And then when we're not here anymore, we're all going to go to the same place. You know, so while we're here, let's try to find that common ground. That's kind of the whole bringing One Love to Web 3. Like, there's a lot of BS out there. Some people are going to be rich. Some people are going to lose their money. But to me, this space could be so much more than that. And that's what fires me up about the blockchain and talking to people like you and talking about podcasting, man. So I don't know, man. It's a long answer to your question. But yeah, I think the musicians in general really excite me. But I just think anyone who's authentic and trying to be creative in this space and are not exploiting, you know, people who don't know any better, those are the people I have a lot of respect for.
Yeah, and I think that's such a good point, because music truly is a unifier in the world. So maybe I'm dating myself here, but I feel like the most popular musician of modern time would probably be like Michael Jackson, I think. Like, you maybe can make some cases otherwise, but
I would have definitely been starstruck if I met Michael Jackson. I don't know that.
Yeah, I would be.
But yeah, I think seeing Michael Jackson, I heard a story on, it was one of Jay-Z's friends was on the podcast on Drink Champs. And he was talking about, because Jay-Z was able to get Michael Jackson to do something, some promotion, eventually like a Hot 97 Summer Jam thing. And when Michael Jackson came into the studio for whatever they were doing, it might have been a promotional thing, every single rapper, every single person other than like one or two of them, including Jay-Z, had to turn their back and face the wall and were not allowed to make any eye contact with Michael Jackson. There's a lot of weird stuff with people like with that, but yeah, I don't remember what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson, for sure. I would have been starstruck.
So, but yeah, like, music is such a good unifier in the world. And I find that there are a lot of parallels between that and like Web3 as well, because the way I see it is that it's a unifier as well, because it's brought a lot of people together from different places. And I mean that like literally. You and I, although we're local to each other, relatively speaking, we found each other through Web3. We also have like a lot of mutual contacts that live in like, oh gosh, like Iran and Italy and like all over the world, Cuba, that we would have not met otherwise. And they've got amazing stories, and just like hearing about like their experiences and kind of getting exposure to that and some of the things that they go through, and makes you kind of appreciate some of the things that you have. Like, we've talked about this on the podcast before, but like for us, although yes, we have rampant inflation over here, but relatively speaking, it's stable. You don't walk into like a store and see someone like erase the price on a chalkboard and add like another comma to it, where, I mean, legit, you'll see that in other countries. And so you see like how crypto could be beneficial in those kinds of countries, because even though it's got a lot of volatility, relatively speaking, it doesn't, you know, change to that degree. So kind of just meeting people and kind of having that unifier that brings like all of us together, and we're all kind of marching to the same beat in terms of just having interests that where we have like a passion for blockchain, and it could be for different reasons.
I do want to say thank you for not only being on here, but continuing with the Blockchain Experience Season 2. Last question, if there's anyone who you haven't had on yet that you could just pick, like in the whole NFT world, who do you think would be an exciting guest to have on the Blockchain Experience? And I'll let you think about that for a second, because I know it's not an easy, there's probably so many, I feel like maybe there used to be a lot more people to choose from. But I feel like for me, I would love to have Deco Life come on. He's one of the most authentic people I met in the space. You buy one of his NFTs, he sends you a real life drawing or painting. It was super cool. I have like a couple of his real life pieces. I'd love to chat with Emil MTO, we've been back and forth over DMs so many times, but it might be a time zone thing, but he's a really cool guy and I've really got to get some of his stuff. I keep looking at it. And as soon as I'm able to make one or two moves, I'm going to have a few of his pieces in our artist support fund. And there's also, there's someone named JOC who's like really, really creative, really interesting, representing indigenous peoples. It's really, really cool. I'd really love to get him and his crew on here. And speaking of that, I know we're going to see you soon at NFT NYC coming up again on 2024. But I hope that was enough time to buy you some time or some people you would like to maybe have on your pod.
Emil, MTO, and Adeco Life, amazing people for sure. I might go like a little bit of a different route, and I'm going to say Luka Netz from Pudgy Penguins. And I'm going to say that just because I think he's done something really remarkable in this space in terms of having a 10K collection and finding a way to really activate that audience, not just the ones within the 10K collection, but even outside of that. And to give a very short story, my show producer, she has a background working at NBC. Like, that's her background. That's why I brought her on, because it kind of complements my background, because I don't have that experience. And so she's relatively new to Web3. So her exposure to Web3 is through the podcast, and she's getting a hang of it. But when we were talking about potential guests, the name Luka came up from me, and she knew who he was. And I was like, Carrie, how do you know Luka Netz? And she's like, oh, everyone knows Luka Netz. He's all over TikTok and Instagram and his stories everywhere. And that for me was like a light bulb moment, because being in the, you know, Web3 bubble I'm in, I thought that like he's purely just like a Web3 persona. So I'd be curious to have, like, I'd be interested in having him on and just kind of speaking to him and kind of, I know a little bit of his background story. It's out there. Everyone knows it, but just like the journey, but also kind of like some of the tactics that he deployed to kind of get that mainstream adoption, because there's certainly some learnings there, I think, that a lot of people can take as far as being able to take a brand and then bringing it mainstream the way that he did.
That's a good one too. I was trying to stay away from sort of the
yeah, I know. I went the different direction.
No, that's okay. Yeah, the 10Ks and those generative things are that was a heavy part of season one for me, especially the first half of season one. And I got more into more like the art side of things and different types of creators. But no, nothing wrong with that at all. I as long as someone's being creative, I feel like it's a good spot to be. And maybe let's make a pact now. The first one of us who's able to get Gary V on as a guest, we got to call the other one to come on and co-host. How's that?
Yeah, for sure. That's going to be a team effort for sure.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, again, thanks so much for coming on. His podcast is The Blockchain Experience with Meta David. He's going to be at NFT NYC coming up in 2024. Is there anything else you want to share with the listeners before we go for this episode?
Well, thanks for having me, Travi. Really appreciate you. And just one love, brother.
There you go. Keep on listening and keep on trying to do what I always try to do. And I think you now understand why and what that means. That's bring one love to Web3. I'll catch you next time. Peace.